We're holding at the top of page 84 in Brachos, the exact top of the page, Toner Rabbanan. It's the middle of Oris Samach Beis for those who are using other editions. We talked yesterday about Rabbi Gamliel and his slave Tovi, where we know all over Shas that Tovi was a Talmid Chacham. And so then when he passed away, the Mishnah had said that that Rabbi Gamliel accepted Tanchumin, had people were coming to be Menachem over him. And when Rabbi Gamliel asked him, you don't do that for Avodim, as we learned yesterday, he said Tovi was different because kosher Hoya. So in this connection, the Gemara brings another Braisa, which by way of it, for the second part of the Braisa, which is not quoted here in Ein Yaakov, is a din about Avodim. In those times, they used to use the titles Abba and Imma to mean not just like you do nowadays, Tati or Mommy, but rather they would use them also as a title of respect for people, kind of like Mr. or Mrs. or Reb and Rebitzin. So the Braisa mentions that you don't use such titles for Avodim. You don't call them Abba so-and-so, Ima so-and-so, you just call them by their first name, with the exception, it says, the Avodim of Rabbi Gamliel's household, because they were very prominent. So as a preface to that, the Braisa mentions something else, which we have here in Ein Yaakov. Toner Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Ein Koden Oves Elo L'Gimel. There's only three fathers of the Jewish people whom we call Oves. So only Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We don't call the Shvatim Oves. The Ein Koden Imois Elo L'Dalem. Similarly, when you talk about the Imois, we mean only the four, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, meaning not Bilhah and Zilpah. So sometimes there are places in Chassidus, Alpi the Zoyar, where we consider Bilhah and Zilpah. Sometimes we talk about, for example, it says that Barzil is Rosh HaTevis, Bilhah, Rachel, Zilpah, Leah, but we don't actually call them Imois, per se. So the Gemara asks, Ovis, my time. Why indeed do we call only Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov Ovis, not the Shvatim? You're going to say, because practically speaking, nobody knows whether they're from Shevet Reuven or Shevet Shimon. So how can you say, for example, Reuven Avinu, when you might not be descended from Reuven? Well, in that case, Yehochi Mohis Nami. So the same thing should apply to the Imois. Lo Yadinin Ime Rochel Kasinin Ime Leah Kasinin. After all, the same thing should apply to Rochel and Leah. Ella, no, rather the answer is ad hocha chashivi, up to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they're considered important. Tfeilei chashivi, after that, they're not considered so important. Important in what sense? So Eitz Yosef brings over here that the idea is that we know until Yaakov, things still had to be cleaned up. Avraham still had psoilus in him, and from that came out Yishmael. Yitzchak had, and from that came out Esav. Yaakov is the first one that mitoseh shlema. So once you reach Yaakov already, then you don't really have, his children don't really have any great advantage over the other tzaddik. More generally, there's the idea, brought in many, many places in Chassidus, that you have only certain people who are ovois, and there's an ovois, a royim, in the sense that they draw down a certain hamshacha to the entire Jewish people, chesed, Avraham chesed, Yitzchak gvura, and so on and so forth. And therefore, the Shvatim are not really in that category. The Shvatim have a special thing of their own. They're associated in Kabbalah with something called Yudbez Gvulei Alachsen, which I haven't the slightest clue what that means. But in any case, they're not all-encompassing like the way the Ovis are. To a certain extent, we say Yosef is. Sometimes we talk about that Yosef is almost like an honorary one of the Ovis. He supported the whole Jewish people, and also Baruchnius, but we don't really call them Ovis. With that said, though, the Ritva brings in a different Gemara that when we're talking about over here, not calling them Ovis means primarily in davening. So if we have reason to mention the Shvatim in davening, we never call them Avisein, only Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But in other contexts, we can call even people from much later times, we can call them Ovis, and there's no problem with that. You have Gemaras, for example, that refer to Aviseinu that left Mitzrayim. Yeah, we say in Agoda, for example, we have the line Loyas Aviseinu Bevad Gol Hakadosh Baruch Hu, etc. So because that's not in Davni per se, so therefore that's fine. Gemara goes on. Amar Rav Elazar, my dichtiv, getting back to the matter of saying Krishna and davening. So my dichtiv, what does it mean, a pasuk in Tehillim, Kena Berechecha B'chayei, David HaMelech says, the same way as I was, as it describes in the previous psukim of how I'm coming close to Hashem, Berechecha B'chayei, I will bless you while I'm alive, B'shimcha Esachapai, with your name I will lift up my hands. Now, in Poshut Pshat, fine, it means, in other words, that he's saying that as whatever happens to me, I'll bless Hashem and I'll lift up my hands in tefillah to Hashem. But Rabbi Lazar Darshins, Kena Barachacha Zu Krishma, the words Kena Barachacha B'chayai refer to saying Krishma. And why is that? Why is that referred to as B'chayai? So Marsha explains, because the main point of Krishma is like this, besides that there's a mitzvah to say Krishma twice a day, besides that also a person is Yotze, the minimum requirement of Talmud Torah by saying Krishma. There's Gemara in Menachos that mentions that point, even though it says V'ogisa V'yoyim V'layla, if a person is not capable of, and most people aren't because they have to work, the absolute minimum that a person does is he says Krishma in the morning and in the evening, and with that he's Yotze the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And Torah is our life, Kihu Chayecha. So therefore, so Kena Barachacha, so I bless Hashem, regarding Chayei in something connected to Torah. And then it continues, B'shimcha Esachapai, when it says, in your name, I lift up my hands, Zut Tefillah, that refers to davening Shemana Esra. Where B'shimcha, Marsha explains, because when all the various requests we make in Shemana Esra, we're not asking for ourselves, we're not saying we deserve it. We're saying for Hashem's sake, for your sake, Hashem, that it should make a kiddush Hashem and not the opposite. Then give us what we need. So that's b'shimcha that we're saying in your name. I lift up my hands rather than that we're trying to say that we deserve it. And the osakein and the pasuk continues. If a person does like that, he does krishma and shemana esrei with that kind of mentality. All of our kosevayim, where the pasuk says about such a person, the next pasuk in that capital tilim continues, k'moy chela v'deshin tispa nafshi. He continues, like with fat and with deshin, which is the ashes of the korbanos, my soul will be satisfied. Which means, in other words, that now he has the schus of as if he brought korbanos on the mizbeach. So the chelav of the animals of the korbanos that are brought on the mizbeach and the deshin that is left over and that you have the mitzvah every morning of terumas hadeshin of clearing some of it off the mizbeach. So a person who says krishma and davening has that schos as if he did that avodah, because after all tefillah is instead of the korbanos. Not only that, but he inherits both worlds. In the source of Krishma, in particular, Marsha says, because, again, we said Torah is Chayecha v'Orach Yomecha, and the double expression means an Olam Hazeh and an Olam Haba, so therefore he's Zoicha to that. Shenemba v'sif seirin nonos yahalal pi, as that same pasuk until him continues, and lips of praises, my lips of singing, of renonos, singing songs in the plural, yahalal pi, my mouth will praise you. So Bez Renonis Halol Olama, why the double expression Renonis means Echad Ba'olam Hazeh Ve'echad Ba'olam Haba. So the person will have the schus to praise Hashem with these things in this world and also in the next world. That's also elsewhere, the Gemara mentions on Asher Yesh Ve'Secha Od Yalu Chasela, that a person who Yosh Ve'Secha in this world, they have the schus that they're Mahalol Ve'Evish, they're lost in love as well. In within Rashi over here, there's a parenthetical note that brings from the Rashba that Avarecha B'chayai, specifically another reason why that refers to Krishma is because in Krishma we say Baruch Shem Kohen Machos Olam Bod, and therefore that can be described as Avarecha B'chayai. Then he says B'shimcha Esakapai refers to davening in the sense also that when Shlomo HaMelech did the Chanukah Sabayis and he gave the whole long tefillah asking that Hashem should accept everybody's tefillahs, he says everybody will daven no matter where in the world they are. They'll daven to Hashem through this house because we daven in the direction of Yerushalayim, the direction of Bismikash, which Hashem's name is called on the Bismikash, Hashnikra Shimcha Olav, and therefore B'shimcha Esakapai means by means of the place where Hashem's name rests, we're going to lift up our hands and dive into Hashem. So that's what the pasuk is hinting at. Continues the Gemara. So now actually we go back a couple of blocks. I'm not real. Sometimes the Mechaber of Ein Yaakov put the pieces of Gemara out of order. I'm not real sure why. I mean, I guess sometimes he tried to keep things that are on a similar theme together, but here as it is, we've been digressing quite a bit. So why he first puts this piece of in over here when it's two blocks earlier than what we had, I don't know. Anyway, Omer Rav, kol anoisin shalom l'chaveira kodim shispalo. If a person greets somebody else with shalom before he davens, specifically before he davens Shemana Esrei, kilo asoi bum, It's as if he's making that person a bummer, which is, now we know there were there were short periods in Jewish history when you were allowed to build bummers, private mizbeches, and bring korbanos on them, but for the most part not. It's serious avera, it's shote chutz, a person has chayev kares for it. So in times when a bummer is also, what is a person doing? He's abandoning the main mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash where he's supposed to bring korbanos, and he's going and bring korbanos on some private bummer. So the same way, when a person ignores Hashem and he goes and greets the other guy with shalom, then it's as if he's making that guy a bum. Shenema, and we have a pasuk that expresses that point. The pasuk says, "Chidlu lachem min ha'adam asher neshama ba'apoy." Hold yourselves back from man whose neshama is in his nose. Ki bameh nechshavu, because what does he count for? So I'll take you bameh el a bum. Don't read bameh with what, but bummer, you're bummer nechshavu by greeting him at that time, then it's like you're making him a bum. So Rashi explains, you can see clearly that the pasuk must be talking about a time when you're expected to be dealing with the kavod of Hashem, because otherwise, what do you mean? Chidlu lachem min ha'adam. What do you mean stay away from people? The Torah, the pasuk's not telling you to be a hermit. So it has to mean at a specific time that when you're supposed to be in, when you're supposed to be focused on Hashem, then don't be focused on a person. And the Maimel HaChadoidi that we say at a wedding, there's the Friedrich Rebbe explains there the idea that the neshama ba'apoi, the idea being that before a person has daven, his neshama is so to speak only in his nose. It hasn't yet been slavish into his body fully. We know the neshama goes lamaila by night. It comes back in the morning. That's what we say modani for. But then when does it become fully malubish in the person? Only after he davens. So before he davens, it's still only ba'apoi. That's what the pasuk means by calling it neshama ba'apoi. Shmuel says, you don't have to change the word bameh to bama. It means bameh hashavte lozev lo leka. It just means that the Navi is telling the Jewish people, what is it that you're making this person important instead of Hashem? So you don't even need to do an al tikri bama bameh el bama. Just the word bameh itself implies that it's the wrong thing to do. So the Gemara continues, Mosiv Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes says, what do you mean? You're not allowed to greet somebody before you daven. The Mishnah, which is what this Gemara is on, says, Vaprokim Shoyom Apnei HaKavod HaMeshiv. It describes how between the sections of Shema, for example, between the first bracha and the second, between the second bracha and Shema Yisrael, etc. So you're allowed to greet somebody because of kavod, and you're allowed to answer back when somebody who you owe kavod to greets you. What kavod means for this purpose, there are different explanations among the poskim. It can mean, for example, a rebbe who you have to have kavod for, or it can mean kavod, just for example, an important person. Whatever the point is, that we see that it is appropriate at times like that to be saying shalom to somebody, even though now this is during Shema, the pashtus is before Shemana Esrei, and we're still saying you can do it. And the answer is Tirgum Rab Abba b'mashkim l'pischoi. So Rab Abba explained that it meant when he gets up early to go to the guy's door in order to say shalom to him. So that's inappropriate to do before davening. But if he stam meets him on the street, then there's nothing wrong with it. That's the kind of thing that the missionary is describing where you'd even be allowed to do between the parakim of Shema. By the way, that particular halacha of shoyel and meshiv now covered doesn't necessarily apply nowadays because nobody's going to be offended if they see if you're in the middle of Shema and they greet you and you don't answer back. Nobody's going to be offended. They're going to realize you're in the middle of Shema. So to the extent that we apply that halacha, we do apply it to the fact that we know there are different places in davening where you're allowed to interrupt for Dvorim Shebekdusha. So the idea behind it is if you're allowed to interrupt in those places for the covet of a boss of a dom, how much more so for the covet of the Eibishter? So that's the basis of how it is, for example, that between the Parakim of Shema, you can answer various things, such as parts of Kedusha and Amun Yehei Shmei Rabba and Baruch Hu and a few other things is based on that. It's based on that idea. In Shulchan Aruch, it also mentions, by the way, that mainly the objection is to saying shalom. Shalom, after all, is a name of the Eibishter. But to say hello or to say something else, whatever the equivalents are, in other languages is less of an issue. Like good morning or whatever. So the Gemara continues, Amar Ab Yonah, Amar Ab Zera, Kolan Nois, what we just said, Kolan Nois and Shalom Lachaberei, Kodim Shi Spalo. If a person says shalom to somebody before he davens, Asoi Bama, then he's making him a Bama, in effect. Omalei, so he says, the Pashtus, I guess, Rabbi Yonah asks Rabbi Zera, Bama Kamer, do you mean literally he's making him a Bama? Omalei Loi Osu Kamina. No, I don't mean he's literally making him like a Bama. I mean, it's just, it's something which is also to do. Rashi does not seem to have the gusa of that whole line at all. On the other hand, the Rif and a number of other Rishonim do have the gusa. So the point is, in other words, the objection is, how can you say he's making him literally a bummer? In fact, Ion Yaakov says, so what does that mean? And during the few times in Jewish history when bummers were allowed, would that mean that it's fine to greet somebody with shalom before you daven? What's the logic? So he says, no, I mean that it's flat out also regardless what period in history we're talking about. Anyway, Kidder of Idi Ba'ovin. And the reason is based on what Rab Idi Ba'ovin says, the Omer of Idi Ba'ovin, Omer of Yitzchak Ba'ashian, also Loyla Odom, Litin Shalom Lachaveroi, the Lotzis Laderech, a person is not allowed to greet somebody else with Shalom or to go away on a trip. Or different gear says lasis chafotzav to do his own personal matters, kodim she spowel before he dabbles. So Rashi has the gears to just lasis chafotzav, that the problem is not so much going on a trip or saying shalom to somebody else. The problem is lasis chafotzav, that he's going to get busy with his own work before he goes and dabbles. The Rif and the Rosh have the gears that a person is not allowed lotzis laderech. He's not allowed to go on a trip. So there are certain exceptions to it in Shulchan Aruch. A person has, for example, a plane to catch or whatever, and they have to go early in the morning. Then there's a little more of a heter for it. But yeah. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Tzedek lefon of Yahalich. The Pasuk says, Tzedek should walk before him. So Tzedek refers to Tefillah, where a person, and then Rashi says, Shema Tzdiko Labod. It makes the person righteous and justified before Hashem. Or it can mean the other way around. It can mean the person, when he's davening, he realizes how what Hashem does is just and fair. So that's Tzedek. And then the Yosem Laderach Pa'amav, only then should he set out his footsteps out according to Rashi to do his various other business affairs, and according to the Rif and the Rosh to actually go on a trip. And the flip side, kolam ispalo v'yotze laderach, if a person does things in the right order, first he davens, then he goes on a trip, HaKadosh Baruch Hu oisalei chafatzav, then Hashem will do for him what his desires are. Shenema, the same pasuk, tzedek yifonav nahalech, v'yosem laderach pa'amav, now we're understanding that v'yosem refers to Hashem. Marashar explains that in the first version, we're saying v'yosem refers to the person. Only after tzedek yifonav lohanam yahalech, only then v'yosem should the person himself place his footsteps to start going on his trip or doing his business matters or whatever. According to the second explanation, the v'yosem refers to Hashem. After tzedek yifonav yahalech, the result will be v'yosem, that Hashem will place l'derech pa'amav, that his footsteps will be going on the right path and they'll be successful. Okay. Since we mentioned something that Rab Yonah says in the name of Rab Zera, so the Gemara brings another one. Om Rab Yonah, Om Rab Zera, kol halon shiva leilos, or shivas yomim b'loi chaloim. If a person sleeps, if a person goes seven straight nights or seven straight days without a dream, nikra ra, he's called bad. Shenema, we'll talk a second why that is, what's wrong with not having dreams for a week, we'll talk about in a second. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, v'saveya yolin bal yipoked ra. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, the one who sleeps satisfied, Saveya, means like Vachalta Vesavata, Bal Yipoked Ra, he won't be visited with evil. But we're doushing it. So the simple meaning of the Pasuk, in other words, is that we're saying, in other words, that a person sleeps satisfied and he won't have to worry about any evil thing happening to him. But the Gemara is doushing, rather, I'll take with Saveya El Sheva. Read the, not instead of Saveya, satisfied, read Sheva, which means seven. So therefore, now we read the pasuk. The Sheva Yolin, if he sleeps for 7 days, Bal Yipoked, and he hasn't been visited, he hasn't been mentioned by Hashem to be given a dream in Hashemayim, Ra, then it means he's bad. And therefore, Rashi says, in other words, the point is, like Hashem is kind of ignoring him. He's Ra, and therefore Hashem doesn't want to bother giving him a message min Hashemayim. Now, what we actually have is you have a parenthesis over here in the chnim over here, Perek Haroya Ayin Sham Marsha. So, in fact, this Maimon Chazal is also later on in the Masechta. There's a whole sugya about dreams over there. It mentions it also. Unfortunately, over here, Marsha says, refer to over there for my Pirush. And over there, he says, refer to over here for my Pirush. So, apparently, he intended to write a Pirush on what this phrase means, but he never had the chance to. There are different explanations. What's so bad about going seven days without a dream? A couple of interesting ones. Bechlal, a dream is a message. Min Hashemayim. So one angle on it is exactly that. If a person is going for 7 days without being given some kind of message, Min Hashemayim, then it shows there's something wrong with him. So there is there's an interesting little sefer on the Agadis in Brochus and Shabbos that I came across. You can find that on Hebrew books. It's one of those svarim you would never know that existed if it weren't for that. It's a little sefer called Pesher Agadta. The author of it was named Rabbi Yehuda Leib Ratner. He was a rav in one of the agricultural colonies in what's now the Ukraine. Many Lubavitcher Chassidim lived there. Those are the famous colonies, for example, that Rabbi Hillel Parachur used to travel around every summer. Anyway, I don't know anything about this author, although he does have a skama on his sefer from the Rebbe's grandfather, Rabbi Meir Shlem. So whether he himself was a chassid or just he was a rub in one of those little shtetlach vesachmish. Anyway, he wrote this pirush on brachas and shabbos, the agadas of brachas and shabbos. So he says, the vort is, usually when a person is eating, usually along with the eating, they're also thinking thoughts. And then what happens when a person is, when a person goes to sleep, then their mind is all jumbled up. And then those thoughts resolve themselves into dreams and get swept out. So like this, if a person is going an entire week without a dream, it means that throughout that entire week, which a week necessarily includes a Shabbos, he's never been putting any thought into when he's eating. He's not just shoveling food into his mouth. Therefore, we're saying nikrada. There is actually a mimer of the Rebbe, which also shtels zich on this. And in the middle of the mimer, the Rebbe talks about the whole concept of dreams. And the Rebbe's take on it is somewhat different. Also having to do with machshavas, but with the idea, the Rebbe explains in this mimer that even a tzaddik, as he's going about his day, yes, mostly his machshavas are about the Eidishter, but inevitably at some point during the day, he's got to have machshavas about the needs of his body as well. So now if he goes an entire week with that, and again, those machshavas at night, then those end up getting resolved into dreams and then swept out of his mind. So if he goes an entire week without having any dreams, then it means that those machshavas are remaining by him rather than getting swept out, and that's a problem. So that's the idea. That's the Jerusha. One reason before Shem explained why the Gemara felt the need to darshan the Al Tikri Al Saveya Al Sheva is in particular Pesher Agadta points out because Fakert. What do you mean? The Saveya Yolin Bal Yipoked Ra, because a person goes to sleep satisfied, therefore no evil will happen to him. Fakert. When a person goes to bed on a full stomach, he's more likely, for example, to have tumas keri or something during the night. Therefore, the Gemara felt the need to darshan it differently. The Gemara continues. So now, so Rab Yonah had said this, but Rab Acha, the son of Rab Chia, who was the son of Rab Abba, said, no, Hochi Amr Rab Chia Amr Rab Yechanan. On the contrary, Rab Chia said in the name of Rab Yechanan, that's not what the Pasuk means. You don't have to do an Al Tikri. You can leave the word Saveya as it is, and it means Kol HaMasbiya Atzme Midivre Torah V'lon, when a person fills himself up and makes himself satisfied with words of Torah, and he goes to sleep, then he won't be given bad news min hashamayim. Meaning that Marsha says, now a person could just figure we can get away with just Krishna, but instead a person says, just Krishna Shalomita is not enough. He needs to actually learn Torah and fill himself up with Yiras Shamayim. So then Hashem won't give him Besuras Rois, Shanema, Vasaveya Yolin, Bali Poked Ra. So now we can understand the Pasuk in the closer to the simple sense that he'll go to sleep satisfied, meaning not satisfied as in he filled up his stomach, but he filled up his neshama with Torah. So therefore, Bali Poked Ra, he won't be visited by bad dreams.
So
the first explanation was he said he doesn't have any dreams b'chlal during the 7 days. Now we're saying fakir that he won't have bad dreams. It happens. Probably a lot of people don't necessarily remember their dreams when they wake up. The pashtus, when we say that person goes 7 days without dreams, we don't necessarily mean that. We mean that he literally has no dreams at all. Anyway. The Gemara goes on, Piska, so quotation from the Mishnah. So the Mishnah described the various Bein HaPrakim, the parts between one sec, the breaks between one section of Shema and the next, between Yotzah, Ma'oras, and Avas Olam, between Abor Chabam Yisrael, Ba'aba, and Shema, between Uvisharecha and Bahayim Shemaya, and so forth. And then it mentions one of them is between Ania Shema Lekechem and Emes, because Emes V'yatziv, after all, is the next brach. But the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda, Ima ben Vayom, La Emes V'yatziv, Lo Yafzik, that Rabbi Yehuda says you should not break between Ani Hashem Alekechem and Emes. So Amr Abba Bo, Amr Abba Yechanan, Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda, Dom Abbein Alekechem, La Emes V'yatziv, Lo Yafzik. Yeah, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that you don't break at that point. So it's not considered bein aprokim. So instead, you say emes, and then if you need to break for davar shebekdusha, then you follow the rules of what would be bein aprokim. That would be what would be beemtza aperek. You have certain things that you're allowed to interrupt for bein aprokim, but not beemtza aperek. For the most part, as far as davar shebekdusha, if you look in the tables in the back of the newer sedurim, they have a table of it. For the most part, there's not much of a difference between them, but in other areas there are. In particular, the Mishnah mentions Mipnei HaKovod, Mipnei HaYira, whatever. So you say Emes, and then you're considered Be'emtza Peret, because we're in the middle of a bracha after all. Emes is the first word of the bracha. And then you follow the rules for interrupting Be'emtza Peret. So the Gemara says, my time is Rabbi Hoda. So why does Rabbi Hoda say that? Because the pasuk says Hashem Alekim is truth. So we also want to express the same idea by saying Hashem Alekim Emes and putting them together. I once saw, by the way, a cute vote, I don't remember the marker of it, that says, so taka why in the pasuk, in at the end of Parashas Shlach, why taka doesn't that say emes right there? Why didn't the Ebesh dictate to Moshe to write at the end of there emes? And the answer is because the very next thing in the Torah after that is machlokas of Korach, which is anything but emes. So we don't want to put the word emes anywhere near Korach's machlokas. Marsha, by the way, refers to, we talked about yesterday, we had in the Gemara, which actually in the actual printed Gemara, the part that we talked about stopping after, about what do you repeat Emes again, was right after this one. Again, I have no idea why Rabbi Yaakov and Chavav separated them and put them as separate sections, but anyway, so the Gemara goes on to talk about the question that we discussed yesterday, do you repeat Emes? Or not, and in the case of the Chazan who was davening in front of Rabbah and repeated Emes, and Rabbah criticized him for that. So we said yesterday that Rabbeinu Yonah understands that b'chlal, the question about repeating emes, is only if you interrupt it in the middle. So let's say you said Hashem alekeichem emes, and then you had to interrupt for dvarim shebekdusha, or to answer somebody with ne'ayiro, or whatever. Now would you say emes again as the beginning of the bracha, or would you not? And the case of the Chazan, we just said he said emes twice, and Rabbah criticized him for that. Marsha over here explains, based on what we're saying over here, Hashem alekeichem emes, that the word emes, actually, the reason why you don't have to repeat it, why the halacha is you don't repeat it, is because it actually refers to both what came before it and what comes after it. It goes together with ani Hashem alekeichem emes, and also the same word emes is the beginning of emes v'yatzev v'nochan and so forth. Therefore, you don't have to repeat it, and that's why Rabbah criticized this Chazan who said it twice, because and said emes tafsil ahai, like what all of a sudden the guy has a spasm of saying emes over again, because the guy should realize that the one word emes refers to both the sentence before it and the sentence after it, and there's no need to actually repeat it. As we talked about yesterday, though, when the Chazan is repeating it together with Hashem Elokeichem in order to have the three extra words, then that's different. That's the right thing to do. Okay. The Gemara goes on now. So the Gemara starts talking about now like this. You have, later on in the Masechta, it talks about the idea that a person should not make tefilose keva. A person, you have the fixed text of Shemona Esrei that the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah set up. You have actually, okay, strictly speaking, you have the 13 different nuschos, as the Mizrach Magid says, whatever the case, you have a certain fixed text of Shemona Esrei, but you shouldn't make it keva. It shouldn't just be that it's a fixed thing and you're just gonna rattle it off and that's that. Also in Pirkei Avos, we have our past tefilose keva. So yeah, what you want to have, your tefillah should be rachmim v'tachnunim l'fnei amokim. So in keeping with that, then the Gemara is going to start by saying that a bunch of different tanoyim and amiroyim, each one had their own special tefillah, which they would say at the end of Shemona Esrei. So we say alakai netzer. And later on, as we go through the Gemara over here, we're going to mention one of the amiroyim, Ma Brei D'Ravina, used to say that. And in fact, that's what, or Ma Brei D'Ravuna actually would say alakai netzer, and that became the kviyos that we all say that. But you have many other Tanoim and Amoroim who had their own nuschois that they would say at the end of that. So the Gemara starts off, Rabbi Eliezer, or Elazar, busted him, Sayim Tzloisei, after he finished Shemona Esrei, Omar Hochi, he would say the following tefillah, Yehi Rotzen Mefanecha Hashem Alekeinu, Shetashkin B'Fureinu, that you should make, and it may be your will, Hashem, that you should make rest in our Pureinu. Now, what is Pureinu? Rashi says it means Gerolein. A poor who people poor who are girdle. So therefore it means in our girdle and our lot in life should have the following things. Marsha says also the word purenu can also be related to the word puria, which means a bed. So therefore it's like we have an amapa, we'll say mitasi shleima lefanecha. So we're asking that our bed should be a place of avav achva shalom bereyu, as we're going to go on to say. So that you should have in our purenu, in our lot or in our bed, we should have abba v'achva v'shalom v'reus. We should have love and brotherhood and peace and friendship. May you increase our boundary as far as Talmidim. That expression is taken from in Masechet Tzemura. We had it a few months back in the previous cycle of Ein Yaakov. We had talked about Osniel ben Knaz, also known as Yavetz, where he davened to Hashem, that you should increase my gvul, and that's what he meant. He was a Rebbe who had no Talmidim, and he's asking Hashem to give him to give him worthy Talmidim. Which in the end Hashem did. It says with Bnei Yisrael, the descendants of Bnei Keni, the descendants of Yisrael, who had a rich, fertile area of Eretz Yisrael, they went and they left that area and traveled to the south of Eretz Yisrael and became his Talmidim. So that's the Sabbath Gvulenim Basamidim as part of Rabbi Lazar's Tefillah. May you make that our end should be successful and should have a hope and should have a future and a hope. May you place our portion in Gan Eden. Fix us up in the world, in your world, with a good friend and with a good yetzer, with a good inclination. May we wake up in the morning and find the yichul of our heart to fear your name. Rashi explained the word yichul means the hope, the expectation. So every morning, where he's asking that when we go to sleep at night, and during the night, a person has hirhurim, a person has thoughts that may sometimes be inappropriate. So then it should be that every morning we find that our heart is hoping and expecting for you, Hashem, and not for anyone else. Marsha says another meaning of yichul levavenu can also be related to the word chil, which means trembling. So in other words, that we should wake up in the morning with a feeling of trembling, with a feeling of yira towards Hashem. To fear your name, and may there come before you the satisfaction of our minds, of our wants, l'toiva, for good. So that was his tefillah that he would say every day at the end of Shemini Esrei. Ion Yaakov explains that the Rebbe Lazar over here specifically is Rebbe Lazar ben Shamur. He had a huge number of talmidim. So first of all, he had a huge number of talmidim. Therefore, it was very appropriate that he asked that his gvul should be increased for talmidim. You have a gemara, for example, in Yevamos that says, or actually, he refers to a gemara in Yuma that says that there were times when he had so many talmidim that the six of them would have to sit together in one amma because they were so crowded in his beis medrash. So he was asking shetayu gvulenim b'talmidim, and Hashem brought that true. Rebbe Lazar ben Shamur, the Ion Yaakov goes on to say, was also one of the Asor Arugin Malchus, and therefore, so he had like a premonition of it, and that's why he asked that we should have Sefenu Achus V'Sikra. So certain phrases in his tefillah particularly refer to his own circumstances. And Ion Yaakov goes on to point out with each of the other Chachamim that we're going to mention why their particular situation required the particular tefillah that they composed. Eitz Yosef has a long explanation about it, that a person lives a certain amount of time in the world. They have, during that time, they have a hope of fixing themselves up and being what they should be. Eventually then a person lives out their life. If at least they have children and bro kara davua and bro mezaka abba, father, son can bring schus to his father. So then he has a tikva of achris, then he has a future and a hope through that. And also, if he has talmidim, same idea. So that's what he's saying, that we ourselves should have in our own beds and where we live, we should have av of achva, includes bifurenu, again, means in our bed, that our children should have av of achva, shalom bereus among them as well. And that we should also have a sabbat gvalenu basamidim, that we should have many talmidim, because that way also we have an afterlife. We don't, it's not just a person dies and then that's it, he's gone. And Eitz Yosef learns that Rabbi Lazar over here is not Rabbi Lazar ben Shamur the Tana, the way that Ion Yaakov said, but rather Rabbi Lazar ben Pedos the Amur. Now we find in a Gemara in Tainus that he was extremely poor. And one time, in fact, the Gemara tells over there where he davened to be given a little bit of schar in this world, and he was given a piece of his future Gan Eden, and then he realized that's no good. I don't want to lose anything from my Gan Eden, and he gave it back. So therefore, that's why he's saying the same Chalkenu the Gan Eden. And the same thing, each of the other things that he's asking has, again, something specific to do with a specific thing that he's asking for. Means that we should fear only Hashem, we shouldn't fear anything else. Like you have the famous thing that Baal Shem Tov's father told him, the only one to ever fear is Hashem. So that's that. So all of that constitutes Rabbi Elazar's tefillah. Rabbi Yochanan bossed him, signed Slosi Amahachi. Then, when Rabbi Yochanan would finish his tefillah, he would say the following: Yiratzin Mafanacha Hashem Alekenu, Shetotzitz Bevashtenu. May you peek to Totzitz, literally, like even just to give a little peek, Bevashtenu at our embarrassment, Besabit Berasenu, and gaze at and gaze carefully at our bad, that the bad situation that we're in. May you clothe yourself with your rachmim, and cover yourself with your power, and wrap yourself up in your chasidus, which refers to those three things. Those three things, rachamecha, uzecha, and chasidusecha, refer to respectively chesed, gura, and tiferes. This is azabachanin rasecha, and gird yourself, like a person puts on a belt, with your midah of chayin, to be gracious to us, even though we don't deserve it at all. And may there come before you the midah of your goodness and your humility, your condescension, the fact that you, Hashem, kavyocho, condescend to look down and consider us human beings important. So you should you should exercise that midah towards us. Maushar explains like this. We learned previously in our Masechta that when a person does an Avera and is embarrassed of it, then Merchel and Loyal call of Enosa. So that's the Totzitz Bevashtenu. Look at our humiliation. We know we did Averas, but we're humiliated and embarrassed by them. So please keep that in mind and forgive us for those Averas. The Tabit Berasenu, it also means, he says, Bevashtenu can also mean the humiliation that we suffer at the hands of the Goyim. The Tabit Berasenu is the same thing. Take a look at the evil that the Goyim perpetrate on us. And then we say that, use your Midah of Rachmim on us, and use your Oiz, use your power and your Gvura against the Goyim. And in other words, you exercise your various Midas, when the word Midah itself means clothing, like Midah Vad. So therefore it means that, so to speak, we're asking Hashem to enclose himself in these various Midas and act in the appropriate ways towards us. Iyun Yaakov points out that he says that Rabbi Yochanan over here is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Tana. In his times, the Beis Mikdash was destroyed. That is why, particularly, he's asking that Hashem should look at our humiliation and at the evil situation, the bad situation we're in after the Churban. This tefillah, by the way, so we don't say it as part of regular davening, but we do have one of the slichas on one of the days before Rosh Hashanah, the fifth day. We have one of the piyutim ends with a paraphrase of this line of Rabbi Yochanan. Totzitz bevashtenu v'tzislabish barachamecha v'sabit v'nacham midas tuchah v'inron sarasecha. We say more or less part of Rabbi Yochanan's tefillah over here at the end of that piyut. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow with more of them. Best Hashem. By which? Oh, and the Swadesh is a dirham, yeah. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach HaGa'ola, Zayin Cheshvan. So the Rebbe was talking about one time about the greatness of Kiddush Levana. And we know Chazal tell us that when a person says does Kiddush Levana in its proper time, Ki'ilu Makabel Pnei Shechina, that's as if he's greeting the Shechina. Now, why is that? So because the Jewish people in Golos are not zoicha to see the face of the Shechina. We're very distant from being able to receive the Shechina. But when the moon is renewed every month, and that's a simon for us Jewish people, like we say in Kiddush Levana, Shehem Asid in the Skadish Kamoisa, the Far Yotzrim, that we will be renewed like the moon, and we will glorify the one who created us, and in that way we're receiving the face of the Shechina. So therefore, when we bench the Chodesh in its time, that's a simon that we will be renewed. So therefore, that is the equivalent of Makablan Pnei Shechina. It's out there now. Okay, good. So tonight, I guess we can be Makablan Pnei Shechina. Good. Okay, halachas. Finishing up with halachas about Macholas Asuris. So the bottom line, as far as insects and worms and whatnot, there are many isurim in the Torah regarding shrotzim. A person can be over on many lavim by eating a bug or a worm or whatever, and then metamed the nefesh. So therefore, a person has to be extra careful with these things that we were talking about the last day or two about uh, about 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 uh, vegetables that are known to have bugs, about fish that are known to have bugs, according to those who hold that the copepods in the water are a problem, then with those, et cetera, all that sort of thing. And the last halacha in the siman, if you ask a rav, a shayla, and he answers it, you're not allowed to ask the same shayla to another rav unless you inform him of what the first rav said, that he asked it. Why that is, there's actually a couple of interesting explanations why. One of them is out of cover for the first rav, but another idea that some of the mafarshim make say is that once the first rav answered it, it actually becomes us. Even if it may be that objectively api halacha was mutter, the very fact that a rav moira hirav passing it makes it osir, and therefore how can you go and ask another rav to be matter it? Unless you find that the first rav made some kind of blatant mistake. So
you also seem like you're fishing for an answer that suits you.
It can also be because you're fishing for an answer. That's really the first reason, because of covered for the first rav, that it's not the covered dick to you. He gave you a psak, and you're going to be going and second guessing him, right?